The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday, the 9th of January, 2026, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about today. It's all about what's in the papers, We're going to do a little housekeeping. We got a trivia giveaway because Monday is Majority Rule Day. So we have a Majority Rule themed giveaway. One question, two prizes. We have a copy of the documentary, Womanish Ways, the women's suffragette documentary produced, I think, and directed by Marion Bethel, along with the esteemed Kareem Mortimer and the acclaimed Maria Govan, and a team of talented Bahamians and technicians. Also, a $25 gift certificate for Rabble Bookshop, which is located at number 13 Park Gate at Ponciana Paper Press. They have a wonderful store there. There's books, their magazines, their cards, their t-shirts, their quarter panels, their tote bags. It's a wide array of gifts and ideas. There's a massive local sticker collection, a massive locally made, locally themed greeting card section. It is awesome. Again, so we're going to have that giveaway in a second. Let me start with the giveaway. So, first of all, I'll give you the numbers to call, 323-6232. That's 323-6232. 325-4316. That's 325-4316. 325-4259. That's 325-4259. 242-300-5720. Toll free for Family Island listeners. You can call and win and have a friend or loved one in New Providence pick up your prize. So, here is the question for today's one question trivia, one question, two prizes. I'm going to read a quote from a book, and I need the name of the book and the name of the author the excerpt, the quote, comes from. Right? I'm going to read an excerpt, like a couple of sentences from a book, and to win the prize, the name of the book and the name of the author. See, if you get the name of the book, you know the name of the author. If you get the name of the author, you know the name of the book. So here we go. Quote, "I refuse to leave," quote, close quotes, came the thunderous reply, his fist pounding on the table and this time scattering all the papers on it. Quote, "If I leave, Mr. Speaker, you are going to have to take me out." Close quotes right there. Again, I'm going to read it. "I refused to leave," came the thunderous reply, his fist pounding on the table, and this time scattering all the papers on it. "If I leave, Mr. Speaker, you are going to have to take me out." The text line, 422-GR96. The text line, 422-GR96. And I see we even have a WhatsApp line. People be all on the WhatsApp line. I'm going to keep that up as well. If you know it, you know it. You sure? There's something else, eh? Oh, well, then we don't have no WhatsApp line. Pure message. All right, once again, here's the quote. "I refuse to leave," came the thunderous reply, his right fist pounding on the table and this time scattering all. If I leave, Mr. Speaker, you are going to have to take me out. That is the quote to win the prize, name the book and the author that is taken from. All right, again, we're going to continue the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will Competition. We're still running our T-shirt magazine recycle drive for the Will Competition, open to junior and high school students throughout the archipelago. Parents, if kids are in school, you could call in and give us the answer. We trust, we are going to trust on faith that you worked with your child to get the answer, and you are just calling to give it on their behalf. All right, I got a text here. Texter, you have correctly identified who said it. You've correctly identified who said it. I'm going to keep that. If we don't get an answer for the name of the book and the name of the author that the quote came from, then you, the first person to text in, will win the prize. Again, the numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. Oh, there you go. The texter's got one half of the answer. I need the other half of the answer. The name of the book and the name of the author. Producer, I see we got a call coming in. Let's get this caller. Texter, you're not quite correct. Good morning, caller.
Can I answer the question?
Yes, good morning. You can.
Nebuchadnezzar and the Seven Dragons?
No. Although, it would be a fitting title, you know, but that's not the title of the book. Thank you very much. I'm going to read the quote again. You can call back. You can call back. And the answer is on Google. You can find this on Google. So, the family of the author have taken the time to create an archive, right, to ensure that Bahamians can find their family members' work, right? And it will become a legacy. Let's go to the next caller. I'm coming to you right now, caller. Good morning.
Good morning. Can I get answer to the question?
Absolutely.
Is it the novel Coingstone by Winston Churchill?
No. No, this is by a Bahamian. So the book is by a Bahamian, and the quote what we're reading is about something that happened in the Bahamas and is all Bahamians, all Bahamians involved.
Okay.
And the clue is we are a few days away from majority rule day. All right, I got you, Texter. Well, we'll keep that information private. It's a new caller, producer. All right, you can call back in 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720, toll-free for Family Island listeners, 422-GR96, 422-4796. The lines are lighting up. Now, majority rule is an extremely important time in the history of the Bahamas. Producer, let's prep that next call, because I have a question for y'all today. Can we say that we have achieved, that we are still enjoying majority rule if we have Article 73-1A in our Constitution? Producer, let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there?
Hello. Yes.
Hi, good morning. Listen, even with all the water in your line, I could hear your answer. Randall Fox, the faith that moved the mountain. Thank you very much. Now, caller, hold the line. Hold the line. Give your information, your number, and your name to the producer. The prize is already downstairs at the reception desk. It's already downstairs at the reception desk. You win a copy of the documentary produced by Marion Bethel, Womanish Ways, a look at the women's suffragette movement in the Bahamas, and a $25 gift certificate to Run Bookshop at number 13 Parkgate Road inside Ponciana Paper Press. Thank you very much, caller. There we go. All right. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Is this Samilo Butler?
Okay, so Samilo Butler is the person who is speaking in the quote. But the book is...
The book that Orville's Quest wrote?
No, this one is from the book that Sir Randall Fox wrote, The Faith That Moved the Mountain. But listen... We got to do one now from Sir Orville Turing Quest book. I want to thank you for that.
Okay.
Right, the next time I do a trivia, I got to find a nice quote from Sir Orville Turing Quest, one of his books. Thank you very much for calling, though.
Thank you, okay.
Absolutely, thank you for calling. I got another text here that says, Politrix by Michael Pintard, another book we should all have or have read or at the very least have touched. Okay, so... We're a couple of days away from Majority Rule Day, public holiday now, celebrated nationally, second Monday, we do it on the second Monday of the month, this year, 12th of January. So majority rule was achieved when Sir Randall Fox, who was a representative for his Labour Party, and is Michael Brennan, both were compelled to join the PLP side and give a majority of seats to the colored folk. But the question is, with the construction of our constitution leading us into independence and the inclusion, we're coming to you right now, caller, don't go anywhere, the inclusion of Article 73.1A that says that the Governor General must appoint the leader of the party that commands the most seats in the House of Assembly as the Prime Minister, can we truly say we are still enjoying majority rule? Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I got you. We got an answer for the question, but thank you for adding that extra piece. This was Black Tuesday. This is the day the mace was thrown out the house.
Yes,
thank you. Now, let me ask you another question, because I can't quite hear your voice clearly, so I don't know how old you are. Were you there? Oh, turn your radio down.
I wasn't there, but I was alive.
You were alive. What were you doing?
I probably was in school.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It has taken a long time for this moment to be sort of memorialized or commemorated at the national level as a public. Okay. Thank you, text. It's Alvin Brennan, not Michael Brennan. It's Alvin Brennan who, along with Randall Fox, crossed the floor, kind of, but not quite, but joined their numbers to achieve a majority and essentially majority rule. Let's go to the next caller. I got you. Good morning, caller.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
On the question of a majority rule, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a majority rule as such. Now, it's made up of our majority rule comes in the form of a political elite class. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we swing back and forth between the two, you know, each 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
But, and our constitution is kind of flawed in the sense that the entity that granted us our independence, they work under a constitution that is very flexible, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, allow them to do as they please. But our constitution is very structured, you know. And, you know, plus to add insult to injury, all if you're in the Commonwealth, whosoever wins whoever wins the election has to swear allegiance to the king and the queen and her successors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a long way to go in terms of understanding where we are. Only certain things can come out of a construct. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we are in what I call a neo-colonial construct. And, you know, until we get out of that, you know, we're going to be struggling.
Yes, sir. I think, absolutely, I love it. I love it. Only certain things can come out of a construct. What it was constructed to produce is the only thing that can come out of it. Thank you so much.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
And if you have a problem understanding anything happening in this framework,
mm-hmm.
just think of a big plantation.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you very much.
Okay, baby.
Thank you very much. I love it, right? Like, we're still in a neo-colonial construct. I call it a plantation model system. We can't seem to create a new one out of what is in front of us. Producer, let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Aaron. I don't know if I spoke to you for the new year, but Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Aaron, you know, I've always had a problem with this majority rule thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the majority should rule just because they are the majority.
Mm-hmm.
If another grouping comes up and they become the majority, does that give them the right to rule? Even though the narrative of this day is said to be that this was the majority will of the people or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The story that is told behind it is that black people, they have equal rights. I think equality rule day would mm-hmm. have been more appropriate, in my opinion, all right?
Because okay.
It seems like even though they said that there were so-called white people who voted for the PLP and so on and so forth, that is lost in the narrative mm-hmm. of when the story is told. What they were fighting for is for equality, to have the same rights as so-called white band. So, you know, just the majority rule, to me, evokes, you know, okay,
mm-hmm.
we are the majority. And blacks only became the majority because of importation and multiplication.
There you go. It
was not like we were always here, like in those other African countries. We were always the
mm-hmm.
always the majority. The blacks were the majority simply because of importation, you know, and another grouping said, oh, you know, like the guy say there are more of us here than you. That means that they should rule, you know. So.
Mm-hmm. I feel you, because you know what my example is going to be, right? The majority of us have decided that stopping at stop signs and red lights is no longer really required. But I don't think that I care that that's what the majority thinks. I understand the necessity of the standard that is applied, the rules that must be adhered to for the common good, right? So I appreciate it. And I really like the question of should we be reframing the name to better encapsulate what it signifies?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, because anytime the story is told, I don't know, in the world, people have gone through similar. All of the colonized country basically went through the same process.
Yep.
None of them have this majority rule day as a holiday.
All right.
Do you know of any other black countries or Caribbean countries that have this day as a holiday, and they were subjugated to the same conditions as we were? You know.
I feel you. Thank you. And I think it has been sort of memorialized because of its political weight versus its cultural weight, if I could say it like that. I got a text here that says, if the government was elected by a majority of the people, isn't that majority rule? ? Yeah, like, okay, so texter, like technically that's what it means, that the government was elected by the majority of the people. We're having a conversation that sort of delves into the nuances around it, right? But let's go with your point. Majority rule means the government was elected by a majority of the people. Cool. Stick a pin. So let's examine it. If we examine how people come to be elected, the internal processes of political parties, right? Which we got a great insight into at Future of Democracy Conference number 4. You can find all of the presentations up on their Facebook page. I think it's Chapter 5, Article 73, 1A, and I got a copy of it. Let me pull it out so we could read from it for those who prefer a direct reading, right? If 73.1A says that the Governor General must appoint, as Prime Minister, the leader of the party that commands the most seats, the House of Assembly, then who actually chooses who is going to be Prime Minister, right? Who chooses who is going to be Prime Minister? This is very important because we don't have a say in who becomes an MP. We think we have a say, but you can only have a say if you are not just participating, you are financially registered member, right? Like your finances are up to date. That's the only way that you could even be a part of the discussion about who will be the candidate. And then what we've seen over successive administrations is that the branches themselves, the people in the community that organize to do the work, that often they are left bewildered and stunned that the individual that they ratified, that they endorsed, is no longer a part of the conversation. Right? Then we realize that stalwart councillors and meritorious councillors, they elect leaders of parties who automatically become prime minister if that party wins the election. So who is really making the decisions? I think this is also important because if you've been observing the intersection of governance and politics in the country over successive years, then you would see that what happens in political party governance. And we see that the frame or the walls of the Westminster system are often bowed and bucked from the pressure of internal party policies, right, that have been sort of enacted, whether formally or informally, in governance culture, right? And in public service culture. One perfect example is the office of the Deputy Prime Minister of the Bahamas. The Constitution creates no such office. It does not exist in constitutional terms. Yet, a party mechanism devised to insulate the party leader from challenges has been imported into governance. See, because they have to make that person feel important and valued to dampen their desire to challenge. So they create an office and they give them a car and they give them a title, which means nothing except money taken from the treasury. So I want to read for you the excerpt from the Constitution, Bahamas Constitution, Chapter 6, Article 73.1. Whenever there shall be occasion for the appointment of a prime minister, the governor general shall appoint as prime minister A, the member of the House of Assembly, who is the leader of the party which commands the support of the majority of the members of that house, or B, if it appears to him that that party does not have an undisputed leader in that house, or that no party commands the support of such a member of the House of Assembly who, in his judgment, is most likely to command the support of the majority of members of that house and who is willing to accept the office of Prime Minister. right? See, I think if it read, the member of the House of Assembly who commands the support of the majority of the members of that House, then maybe it would be majority rule. Here's a text. Hey, good morning, Aaron. Do you know where we can get the constituency map with the polling divisions? No, I don't know. Not yet. I don't think it's been released. This also concerns me. This also concerns me greatly. I don't think it has been released yet. Unfortunately, the government is still working on the task of moving at the pace of its own policies. But since you changed the subject text, I am with you. Let's change the subject. Producer, let's go to a break. When we get back from the break, we're going to touch some headlines. And then there are stories. Government reveals 2,000 job Mayaguana port project. And guess what? I didn't even think. So anyway, some stories from yesterday and some stories from today. When we get back from the break, we're delving into the news, into the headlines as we approach Majority Rule Day 2026. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Bueller gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Bueller. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Aaron Green. We are delving into the headlines this morning. Now listen, we are going to be looking at or following up on yesterday's stories, Boundaries Commission report. Also, Mayaguana Port story. This headline, today's Tribune, time doubled due to brutality of attack. I'm just going to read the first paragraph. A man who shot a woman in her vagina, beat her with a firearm, and threatened to kill her and her family has had his prison sentence more than doubled after the Court of Appeal ruled that the original punishment grossly understated the brutality of the crime. Right? Stick a pin there. I was reading during the break. Around 6 a.m. on 25th of August 2021, Mrs. Similian was at her residence with her boyfriend when their vehicle alarm sounded. As they went outside to investigate, several men were observed in the yard. Miss Similian recognized one of the men as Phileas, whom she had known for many years and who had an ongoing with her boyfriend. I just want to stick a pin there. Again, the case has been adjudicated, and now on appeal, the sentence has been increased, and the judge suggests to match the severity of the crime. I want to talk about just a minute about the severity of the crime. It appears as if these men were launching an attack against her boyfriend. Not her. It appears. Her boyfriend. Not her. But that's what you're going to do to her. Rape culture is deep and complex and unfortunately intricately woven into our culture now. Anyway, remember when the Prime Minister said, you must have a whistle? I have a whistle. Do you blow? And then I have a whistle. When I hit the lever, you go whistle. And then I have another whistle. When I hit the button, it go whistle and you go whistle. You know, since a whistle is the only strategy the government has seemed to come up with. I was going to say elucidate, but I ain't too sure that's the right word, and I in my feelings right now. So we are going to transition to commission report. I didn't get a chance to delve into the articles yesterday on the show, but I do have some interesting articles today for you. I'm sure everybody has been catching up on it. We've created two new constituencies, St. James and Western New Providence and Bimini and the Barrie Islands. And there have been adjustments to 19 other constituencies, right? We've had Michael Pintard raise the question of whether these boundary changes actually affected, like if they did what they were supposed to do, which is about voter parity. So from yesterday's, from the Nassau Guardian poll on the 7th of January, we have the question, which should be the primary goal of changes recommended in the new constituency boundaries report? Fairer distribution of voters across constituencies, improved geographic representation, especially for family islands, ensuring public trust and confidence in the upcoming general election. Mr. Pintard suggested that what should have been achieved was not achieved, and that they could have done a better job at, I guess, creating voter parity with more, I guess, equity in numbers across constituencies, right? But here is what I found interesting, most of all of the stories that came up in yesterday's paper and today's paper. Prominent, Justin, this was a sort of a breaking news story, their online publication, Eyewitness News. Prominent attorney Owen Wells has reportedly been approached to carry the PLP's banner. It said reportedly been approached to carry the PLP's banner in the newly created St. James constituency as political parties begin positioning potential candidates ahead of the next general election. Right? Goes on to say, Wells is reported to be a resident in that western area, while no formal ratification has been announced. Sources indicate Wells has been engaged in nomination discussions in recent months as the PLP continues internal candidate screening across several constituencies, including the newly formed seats. Wells and PLP officials declined comment when contacted. Now, the first thing that interested me when I read that story on the 7th, and then I read this story on the 7th, former PLP Senator I's nomination. I'm sure the PLP said that anybody who wants to be a candidate has to do the candidate training sessions, right? And so the first thing I wondered was, candidate training. Did Senator Robin Lines do the candidate training? And if the PLP, according Wells, what is it that Wells has in his toolkit, resume, Georgie bundle, that if he didn't do the training, right, that would warrant courting him? Now, Lines has a history in politics in the party. She's a former PLP senator. She challenged, along with Chayne Gibson, the chairmanship and deputy chairmanship in the last PLP convention. But in reading the article, I didn't get a sense that she completed the candidate's training. I don't know. I thought it was very interesting. And then I start reading up on the Mayaguana Port Authority, Port Project story. We've got two articles, one from the Nassau Guardian and one from the Tribune, right? The OPM announced last night, so this was in yesterday's Guardian, the OPM announced last night that the government entered into a public-private partnership with Global Lead Consultant Group Limited. Website, globalleadconsultant.com, a Bahamian company to advance the port at Mayaguana, which it described as, quote, a major maritime and logistics project intended to strengthen economic activity in Mayaguana and across the southeast Bahamas. So it's a very interesting article. And then I went to the Tribune article, government reveals 2000 project, right? So it's very interesting. I'm trying to read through. I want to get to a particular point. Here we go. I'm reading from the Tribune article, government reveals 2,000 job Mayaguana port project. Global Lead Consulting Group's website names Vincent McDonald, a 35-year hospitality entrepreneur who owns Curly's Group of Companies, the parent of Curly's Bar on Cable Beach and Curly's Restaurant on Arawaki, and is a partner in Bahamas Renewable Energy Company. Other principals include its chief executive, Winfield Johnny Outen, a former banker who founded Tiffany Marble Products, which later became Bahamas Kitchen and Bath, and also Countrywide Builders. He is currently a director of the Bahamas Entrepreneurial Venture Capital Fund. So the company, it seems, is a Bahamian company with Bahamian names we know, right? Leslie Hutchinson, an engineer and project manager, is named as Global Lead Consultants Group's Chief Operations Officer and is said to have worked on New Providence's $200 million road improvement project, as well as the upgrades to water and sewage and road infrastructure in downtown Nassau. Also named as Junardo Hall is the project's financial consultant, while Global Lead Consultants attorney is Owen Wells, the McKinney, Turner and Company partner, who the Tribune today reports is being asked by the governing Progressive Liberal Party to stand as its general election candidate in the newly created St. James constituency. I just thought that was interesting. I got a text here that says, I want to know who is. The entire website speaks to one project, Mayaguana, with four Bahamians. Who is the money behind the project, and what type of experience do they have in creating deep water ports? Very good question. Well, we've seen some of who is Global Lead. Again, the name, the website address, let me pull it out again, globalleadconsultant.com. Take a look for yourself. And then there is another partner, the private partner. So we're reading from the same article, government reveals 2,000 job Mayaguana port project, Nassau Tribune. The private partners referenced by the project team include 77 Construction UK, among others. The article continues, an internet search yielded few details on 77 Construction UK. However, the Prime Minister's office said the Mayaguana Port project is structured as a joint venture between the government and its private sector partners in the PPP, although the precise terms and ownership percentages were not disclosed. So here's what I found when I did a small quick search on 77 Construction UK. Residential, they do large residential property construction and renovation. Sort of the same kind of feeling the texter got when they said they looked it up and it's just one big Yeah. So, government reveals 2,000 job Mayaguana Port project. Let's stick a pin and go to the text line. As a female, after dealing with the judicial system and almost being turned into a criminal by corrupt officers, I no longer feel safe. Like Brittany, who was treated like a cold-blooded murderer. Meanwhile, murderers are being treated like silly kids. I don't know. When will we accept some judge? Okay, because we're not even going to say that. That's why. Okay. The texter is saying, when will we accept some judges are corrupt and they don't care about lives and money? Because we're not going to say that, because you just can't say it like that. I appreciate the sentiment that you're sharing, texter. I know you're sharing the sentiment anonymously. Right? I imagine through you sharing this is not just a nefarious attempt to slander and defame. But you can't just say it like that, man, texter. Here's another text. One engineer, management and human resources manager who is liable. Well, the one thing we could say right now is we demand more information. More information is required. Good morning, Ms. Green. I'm glad you see the link between Owen Wells and the Mayaguana PPP from yesterday. These people are very jokey. Now, the only link we see right now, right, is that Owen Wells is the lawyer. He is the lawyer for Global Lead Consultant. He's not, like, I'm not sure how it works. I don't think he is their in-house lawyer because the article references him as being a partner in McKinney Turner & Company. Yeah. Right? So he does not work. He's not their, like, he's not their in-house lawyer. He's he's contracted by them. Right? So that's the link. He is also courting him to run in the seat for St. James. Why it's interesting to me is that we have a number of figures, political figures, because they've now entered this realm from the moment they announced that they were aspiring to be a candidate for a political party. You become a politically exposed person, I think, at that point. A number of individuals are bringing weight to the table. Mr. Bastian brings nothing but weight. The potential of a Rick Fox be bringing weight. And when I say weight, what I mean is external resources, external to the party, that the party could benefit from. Some candidates are more attractive to the party than the party is attractive to them. I think about a Sebastian Bastian. I think about a Lincoln Deal. I think about a Robert Caron. That all have weighty, they bring something to the table. Right? And is it that Mr. Wells is being courted because he brings something to the table? Again, the link. Wells is the lawyer for the company, but he is a partner in McKinney Turner & Company, right? So, not quite sure what the link is yet outside of that. It's just interesting. And for aspiring candidates in the future, what weights your resume? See, I often say, for me, the candidate or the potential candidate that is attractive is someone who has proven that they can run a system larger than themselves before they enter politics. I don't want somebody to tell me, give me a chance to show you what I can do. I want somebody who can say, give me a chance to show you what I have already done. Anyway, it's all very, very interesting, and it becomes interesting when we remember Chapter 6, Article 73, 1A. The Governor General, wherever Whenever there shall be occasion for the appointment of a PM, the Governor General shall appoint as Prime Minister the member of the House of Assembly who is the leader of the party which commands the support of the majority of the members of that House. Just very, very interesting. So I'm going to continue to read from the Guardian article. Give me 1 second, people, and pull it right back up. I'm going to read from the Guardian article, Government Announces PPP for Port of Mayaguana. The government did not indicate how much the project would cost, but said it will create 2,000 full-time jobs. See, I think, I don't know, is there a difference between full-time and permanent? Right? It's the first time I'm seeing full-time versus temporary employment. Because they may be full-time jobs for the duration of the construction phases, and then they have no more job. What about permanent employment numbers expected at the completion of each phase? We continue to read, quote, Mayaguana sits close to strategic shipping lanes used by vessels transiting toward the Panama Canal and other major ports, placing the island at a crossroads between the Americas and Europe. Close quotes, OPM said in a statement, quote, this PPP positions Mayaguana to play a stronger role in regional trade, cruise activity, and related services. Quote, under the PPP, Global Lead Consultant Group Limited, together with its team, will work alongside the government to develop a project that includes port and landside works, a transshipment and storage port for containers and bulk cargo, excavation, housing and supporting facilities, and upgrades to utilities. Now we're going to go back to the Tribune article, Government Reveals 2,000 Job Mayaguana Port Project. This is not the first time that the government has sought to create and stimulate economic activity on Mayaguana via a PPP focused on major infrastructure developments such as a shipping port and enhanced airport. A similar administration partner with the Boston-based I Group fizzled out with little to none of the promised development and economic activity ever emerging. The original deal signed back in 2006 for a $1.8 billion development was structured as a 50-50 joint venture between the government via the Hotel Corporation and the I Group, with both parties owning the development project under the umbrella of the Mayaguana Development Company. Let me tell you all something. Why would you ever give anybody an opportunity, an inroad to potentially own anything in Mayaguana or these family islands? Why would they have ownership of anything? A PPP, we pay you back because it belongs to us and we can make sure you get your return on your investment, but it belongs to us. What do you mean that they would be both parties owning the development project under? No, man. No, no. Anyway, the original deal included 9,999 acres, but this was revised by the Ingram administration. It was scaled back to 5 acres, with the developers to start with 2,912 acres. The first phase of the I Group's Mayaguana development called for the construction of an airstrip to accommodate Dash 8 traffic, an airport terminal, a marina, and construction of a 25-room boutique hotel. This phase was anticipated to be an investment of between $24 and $32 million, with the next phase intended to see the construction of a $50 to $75 million high-end luxury resort in Mayaguana. End of article. I'm going to go to the text line. This is weird, the texter says. I've never seen a specialized project such as this where the entity with the expertise is not a part of the project. Is this the new failed contractor model? I know nothing about building airplanes, but the government gives me $100 million to build one and I subcontract to Boeing for $40 million. This is crazy. It requires explanation. Good afternoon. How will a port in Mayaguana affect business in Grand Bahama? Will it be like the Celebration Key project where the business just moved from one part of the island to the other? Well, listen, that's an excellent question because we got this big, attractive port. Oh, caller coming to you right now. Give me a second. We got this big, attractive port in the northwest, a port of the nature described by the Mayaguana development. How would it impact business in Grand Bahama, which is already struggling? Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there? 1 second, 2 seconds. I'm sorry. I'm not sure what happened, caller. The line is blinking, but I can't hear you. I'm so sorry. Now, listen, we got like a minute and a half left on the show. You can call at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259-242-300-5720. Toll free for Family Island listeners. Let's get to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Oh, man. Still happening. Producer, let's check that call, please. There we go. Good morning, caller. You there?
I'm hearing you.
Okay, I'm hearing you now. Good stuff.
Yeah, okay. I listened to you about this development project that's supposedly on the table now, and you've gone through, I guess, one that happened during the Perry Christie, I think, first administration.
Right. The Tribune article takes us through the iGroup development partnership with the Christie administration that sort of never came to fruition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, as a Bahamian first,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've been observing politics and for a while now, I'd say 50-something years.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, as a Bahamian first, no, take note that I said that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we in this country, I talk about we Bahamians. I'm not talking about the PLPs and the SNMs
mm-hmm.
because they are what they are first, but they are not Bahamians first.
Mm-hmm.
We need to come to the realization that the so-called majority rule, but ruling for the majority, we have to get that in our heads. They will talk like they're ruling for the majority, but in reality, they are ruling for the 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And when you look at how the African countries are now rebelling against the colonial and neo-colonial masters and imperialists,
mm-hmm.
you can clearly see that model is exactly the model that is operating in all these Western countries,
mm-hmm.
where they are grabbing everything. You see, one of the worst mistakes that former Prime Minister Ingram made was to sell BTC.
I hear you. Listen, do you hear the music? We all out of time, so I need you to close it up. We all out of time.
You are sure it's done?
Yeah, it's done. I mean, you got 5 seconds, 10 seconds to finish it up.
Yeah, well, don't worry about that. That's only 5 seconds, I leave it.
Man, listen, you made a great impact. Don't watch nothing. You made a great impact. I really appreciate the contribution. He asked the question. People who aligned with PLP and FNM, do they first, right? And so as we approach this Majority Rule Day celebration 2026, I ask the question one more time before my producer cut me. If Article 73.1A says that 73.1A says the Governor General must appoint the leader of the party which commands the support of the majority of the members of that House, are we still living under majority rule? You guys, stay tuned. There's a storm coming. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next, and it's going to be exciting. You guys, stay tuned. Trust me, you're going to love this next segment. Have a great day. Enjoy the day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio.